Ephesians chapter 6.
So as we looked at the first few verses of this chapter, we looked at the obligation of the children to be obedient unto their parents, to honor the father and mother, that it might be well, so the quality of life would be better, the quantity of life would be better. So he comes to verse number 4, and bear this in mind, that all through this we're talking about being submitted one to another, and also being filled with the Spirit of God. Without the Spirit of God, it is not my nature to submit to anybody but my own will. That's my nature. But, you know, I believe you can probably heard this saying, if we get in the flesh, well, can a man get in the flesh? You better believe. And when we get in the flesh, my nature and my motivation is all for me. It's to satisfy me. It's not to consider what would be for you. So, bearing that in mind, wives and husbands, the marriage, the children, the fathers and mothers before their children, all of that revolves around us being saved, being filled with the Spirit of God. Verse number 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So, as the children are to be obedient unto the parents, there's a commandment from God to the parents to be reasonable with their children, to not provoke. So, we'd like to just think about this. Fathers, and I realize this, that mothers could be included here as well. But the father being the head of the household, most of the time the one that administers the discipline, maybe more so, not always, not that there's not an exception to the rule. But I believe that you could say that both parents could fall into this category. So with that in mind, think about this, being subject one to another, so provoke not your children. So that is to provoke them to anger or to enrage. And it gives this inclination that it's an ongoing action that brings that about. So to stimulate or give rise to ongoing action that brings the child to a place of anger. Or he says in Colossians, listen to how he says in Colossians, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So in Colossians, that's 3:21. So you think about this, that the children, and that word is this, to nag as a habit. Could a parent nag as a habit their children? Absolutely. And you know what that's going to do? That's going to bring the child to the place that they feel like. Now, there are lots of things that could bring that about. But are you going to dispirit your child? Are you going to dishearten them? Are you going to bring them to the place that they're dispirit or disheartened? Now, if there's a continual nagging, a continual habit, a continual going on that brings about anger or dispiritedness in the child, then the parent is the one that's doing that. The parent is the one that's stimulating that. So to dishearten, to irritate, or to dispirit, that's the word that we have in Colossians. So does the child need to be flattered? No, flattery is not the right thing. Encouragement's the right thing. To encourage, not to flatter. You know, we're living in a world today that even when doing wrong, we're going to flatter. What's that going to do? That's going to bring about a little monster. That's what that's going to do. You know, Trish mentioned this morning in Sunday school what we read from that Minnesota corrections crime. Every child without correction, without leadership, without guidance, is going to be a delinquent. They are. I mean, that's my nature. That's your nature. And you just think about this, parents. You're in the driver's seat. Psalm 127, I realize we've already read that, but I'm going to read it again. The Bible said, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth." There's coming a day that they'll no longer be children. Coming a day that they'll no longer be youth. There's coming a day that they're going to be their own man, their own woman. And you know what you have? Today, mothers and daddies, while they're under your roof, you have the opportunity to guide them, to direct them. As a man that has a quiver full of arrows, you are that man, you are that lady, you are that one that is to give them the direction. And you know something? Just a little side note. But you know, I found it very interesting. So a study done at Harvard, and it was found to be 90% correct. A study of 5 and 6 year olds of who would be delinquent, who would be thieves, who would be involved in crime. So here is just a few things that made all the difference, okay? So, a father who is firm, fair, and consistent in discipline. Firm, fair, and consistent with discipline. Number one thing that kept children from being delinquent. Number two, a mother's supervision and companionship during the day. A mother's supervision and companionship during the day. Number three, the parents' demonstration of affection for one another and for their children. So if a child never sees that, if a child has no example to follow, what are they going to do? Time as a family activity where everyone is involved. So, the right encouragement and the right example by the parents. So as the arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of their youth. Listen to what the Bible says about Abraham. So the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham's..." Genesis 18:18. "Shall I hide from Abraham the thing that which I do? Listen to verse 18. "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." You know what Abraham's going to do? Abraham's going to command his children and his servants to follow God. Abraham is going to be the example to his children and to his servants to follow God. And you know what God's going to do? God is going to bring on Abraham what he has promised, because Abraham is going to follow the Lord like he's supposed to. So, If the mother and daddy are expecting their children to be sons and daughters of God, they're going to have to lead by example. He says in Proverbs, I believe it's 22, bring up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not err therein. And I've not quoted that exactly. And that's not no exception to the rule. That could happen. But as a whole, that would be the right thing. So let's think about this. So provoke not to anger, to enrage. So let's think about what could do that. Should the commandments and the obedience that parents expect, should that be easy to do? Would you think for Joel, for Delia, that should be very easy, shouldn't it? It should be very easy for them to obey and to understand. As they get to the age of Leah and the age of Chloe, it might be a little harder for this. They're grown. They know. But it should be a command that is easily understood and easily obeyed. So if it's not understood, if they don't understand, and you're expecting something out of them that they don't know how to do, or what you expect, and you're going to fly off the handle, you know what you're going to do? You're going to dispirit them. They're going to feel like, well, I don't know what I did wrong. I don't understand what I did wrong. Here I'm getting a whipping for something that I'm unaware of. Now, a lot of times that may be pretended by the children. But the mother and daddy's going to have to be able to discern that, right? So it should be easily understood. It should be reasonable. And it should be proper. Should it be proper to do this or to do that or do the other? It ought to be in order. It ought to be reasonable. It ought to be proper. And you know something? You're going to get this. You're going to get that little Sally over there and little Johnny over there. They're getting to do that. Well, I'm sorry. Little Sally and little Johnny may not have a mother that's looking out for their best interests. You know that? They may not. They may have a child that they really don't care that much about. And we're seeing that all over our world today. But you know something? There's a multitude of mothers and daddies that smother their children into anger. That hold the reins so tight, there is no leeway. They can't be a child. They can't. Everything has to be approved, and mom and daddy's got to be right there holding and guiding them. I tell you, that's going to smother the life out of your children. And you know something? That's going to provoke them. That's going to dispirit them. That's going to discourage them. And they're not going to feel like they can do anything without you being there. What kind of a man, what kind of a woman is that going to grow up to be if they're never given the freedom to be a son, a daughter, and to try to learn and to understand and to do? They're going to have to make mistakes. I'm not saying that you're encouraging them to make mistakes, but I'm saying this, if you smother them to death, they're going to resent you in life. They're going to resent you later. So don't smother them. And you know something else? Let's look in the Bible. Let's look at Esau and Jacob. And you know something else that destroys and disinherits or dispirits the children? Favoritism. You're going to favor one child over the other? You're going to dispirit one of them. And you know what that's going to do? I'll tell you what that's going to do. Look what Jacob did. Jacob favored Rachel over Leah. Did he not? You know, you're gonna raise a child that's gonna be that same nature. So if you show favoritism in your children, then you're gonna create friction not only between you and the child that's dispirited, you're gonna create a problem between the children that you have created. So, I just want to try to help you. And I'm not the boss, and I don't know everything. The Lord knows, though. I tell you, the Lord knows how to raise children. So, could we do this? Could we push them and push them to be overachievers beyond? I mean, they're little boys and little girls, and we're going to push them to be something that you and I can't be ourselves. So you can push them and try to make them to be such achievers and such overachievers that if they fail just a little, I mean, just think about it like this. If you're expecting your child to be an A-plus student in every subject, every semester, in everything, that might be reasonable. And it might not be reasonable. It might be more reasonable to expect your child to be a B student. But you know something? If they're a B student and you could encourage them, not discourage them, encourage them, they might even try harder to be an A student next month, next semester. But if you're going to down them because they made a B when that was with effort, with honest to God trying, with study, and I'm not talking about just in school, but I'm talking about in life. If we're going to be a B student in life, encourage them that they could be an A student. Don't dispirit them. Don't say, well, your sister made A's. Your brother made all A's. Why can't you make the L A's? Well, I ask you, are you exactly like your sister or your brother? Most likely you're not. So, unreasonableness. No compliments. Nothing but discouragement. I tell you, they need complimenting and they need encouragement. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to create a relationship between you and them that they feel like they can come and they can share with you. They can talk to you. They can say to mother or daddy, you know, I'm afraid I'm going to fail this class. I'm afraid that I'm making a mistake here. Could you help me? You know, if they're afraid to even talk to you about it because they're going to be ridiculed, who are they going to go to? I tell you who they're going to. They're going to their peers that will accept them. And if they're going to fail, they're going to somebody that's going to fail like them. So, be encouraging. I'm not saying that there's not a place. There's not a place to expect more. I'm not saying that whatsoever. You know the capability of your children better than anybody else. So bear that in mind. This is what the book says. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. Don't discourage them. Don't dishearten them. Don't dispirit them. Don't make them feel like they can't do anything right. So, as you think about that, think about this. If we make our children feel like that they're not loved, there's no sacrifice for them, they're in the way, they're a problem, I don't have time for this, I don't have time for you, I don't have time to listen, I tell you, you talk about tearing the heart out of a child. If you don't have time for them, if you don't have an ear for them, if you don't have affection for them, if you don't have affection for them after you give them a whipping, they need to know that they're loved even though they're disciplined. I've seen this, you probably have too, that people withhold love or give love for following the right commands. If you make a mistake, I'm going to withhold love. You're going to do that to a child. I tell you what you're going to do. You're going to dispirit that child. You're going to discourage that child. So that's a terrible thing to withhold love. And you know, I believe that's used as a tool. And you know, if you think about it like this, if you're going to discourage your child, and you can withhold love, they're going to learn that, and they're going to use that against their wife and their husband. How do you think that marriage is going to turn out if every time that you're disappointed in me, that you withhold your love from me? Where am I going to go? Where's the child going to go to find somebody to love them? They're going to leave you. You know, a lot of parents are going to lose their children. If you withhold the love from them, you're going to lose them without question. So, don't use that as a tool. Don't use that. They ought to be able to feel your love, even, and I realize this, children don't understand it, but you know the Lord gives us an example of it when He's given us a whip and He still loves us, and He gives us His word, and He said this. He said if you're without chastisement, if there's no correction, if there's no flogging, He even says that, scourging. That word means flogging or severe beating. Could God give me a severe beating and still let me know that He loves me? I tell you what He's done. He's given me a severe beating, allowed me to come to the altar and Him wrap His arms around my neck and say, I forgive you and I still love you. Has He not done you that way? You know, our children need that too. Though they get a whipping, they need to know that mother and daddy loves them. So, can you push them too much to be adults when they're still children? Are they going to be silly? Now, you may think silly is not appropriate. Well, that might be good for the wife and good for the husband for them not to be silly. But for children, for little boys and little girls, there's a time that they're going to have to be silly. And if you're going to push them to be adults before they're equipped to be adults, you're going to dispirit them. You're going to discourage them from coming to you. You're going to make them feel like, well, I can't measure up to what mama and daddy expects out of me. You know what they're going to do? They're going to lower the standard and they're going to go and they're going to run to someone that will approve the way that they do. They need to be children. There's a time for all things, isn't there? Isn't there a time for all things? There's a time for children to be children. There's a time for that. So, as you think about this, no physical or verbal abuse. You know, the man and the woman, really, how hard is it for you to overpower these little fellas with your strength or with your words? Could you break them all to pieces with your words? Could you break them all to pieces with a hickory or a belt? You could do that, couldn't you? But you know what ought to be? It ought to be this. It ought to be that there's correcting. No doubt you're superior in authority, in knowledge, in wisdom. You're superior in strength. But what do they need? They need the right hand to know that you're still the boss. They need the right hand and the right words to know that you have their best interest in mind. They need to know that you love them and you're out for their good. Do they need correction? They do. They need it. But they need it in love and in reasonableness. He says to us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. Well, I'll just read verse 5. It'll fit for all of us. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you of the children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. So the word there means education, training, or correction. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked, when thou art admonished, convicted to tell a fault. You know, a lot of folks, they can never be told a fault. It really offends them. You know where that offense come from? That come from being flattered their whole life. That's the honest to God truth. They had a mother and daddy, and they flattered their children their whole life, and they never ever made a mistake, and everything that they did was just absolutely wonderful, and you got somebody that you can't correct. So know this, the Lord's going to admonish me, the Lord's going to correct my fault, and you, as parents and mothers and daddy, you need to correct the faults of your children in love and discipline them, admonish them, correct them, convict them, but love them, educate them, and train them. And you know, all of that's in one person. Every bit of that's in the Lord. He's going to convict me. He's going to admonish me. He's going to tell me my fault. He's going to train me. He's going to educate me. I'm going to go to the next verse. Verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. So that word there, that means to educate, to train, correct, and discipline by punishment. So if words won't work, will something else work? Possibly. If words won't work, is it possible that the Lord may correct and educate and train with punishment? That's possible. That's what he says. I believe we're climbing up the hill. I believe we're growing. So despise not the chastening, the training, the education, the correction of the Lord, nor faint when thou art admonished, convicted to tell a fault. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. So it's all those previous education, training, and correction, and discipline by punishment. And scourgeth, that word means to flog. Could the Lord flog me? What do you reckon flog meant in 60 A.D.? Whew, a severe beating. So could the Lord give a man a severe beating and still love him? By his word, he said he could. So this is what it says. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. That means to accept near or to delight in. Why would the Lord flog me? Because he loves me. Because he doesn't want me to destroy myself. Because he doesn't want me to bring down his name. Because you mothers and daddies, you know something? If you don't administer discipline, you know what's going to happen? You're going to raise a son and daughter that's going to bring shame to your name. But if you discipline them, if you love them, you will discipline them. If you love them, you will educate and train them. If you love them, you will tell them their faults. And you know why that is? Because you delight in them. You love them. And the Lord delights. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom his father chasteneth not? Whom, what man, what child is there whose father and mother treats them with neglect or ignores their actions? Could that happen? And if you ignore and you don't care about the actions of your children, know this, they're going to become delinquents. They're going to destroy their lives, and a great possibility, they're going to destroy your life with it. Because you're going to see the trouble that they're in, and you're going to try to bail them out because you love them. And really what they need is what they needed direction in their early years. They needed an example in their early years. They needed chastening. They may have needed a flogging. But if you tarry to do that, I tell you, we're going to look like parents that has no regard and neglects our children. Just think, and no doubt you know some folks that are maybe in a mixed marriage, maybe a couple that's got two or three children from this marriage, and a couple that's got married children from another marriage, and they come together. Most of the time, there's a difference in the treatment of those children. And that one that is not the parent has not the care and the love that the parent has for that child. You see, the Lord's got a plan for a marriage, for a family, for children, and that plan is God's plan, and it is the number one successful plan that there is in all of the world. So, a little more. Fathers, provoke not your children unto anger, to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture. So that word, nurture, that word is this: to tutor, to educate, to train. But think about this, that word also can mean food or nourishment. So think about the diet that the children are going to get. Now let's think about that spiritually. What kind of diet are the children going to get? The Lord says, Paul says, writes down as the Lord inspires, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So what kind of diet do you reckon the Lord's got? I mean, just think about what God has to feed His children. That's the way He says, bring them up. Bring them up in the nurture, in the training, the education, the discipline, and the admonition. So that word means this. That word there means systematic training. Remember what we read from Harvard? That firm, consistent discipline of the Father. The admonition, the systematic training. So the children needs constraining and guiding, right? They need direction given unto them. They need mother and daddy to feed them. As the mother and daddy are being fed and growing in the Lord, they need a mama and daddy that's given them an example of how to follow God. So, as you think about that, to tutor, to educate, to train, so it's a food that promises growth. You know something? You can feed your children this right here on the table, day after day after day, and rot their teeth out, destroy their pancreas, get them hooked and addicted to sugar, and destroy their growth. You can feed them on the filth of this world day after day after day, and you can stop their spiritual growth. They need to be fed the food of God, that there is the possibility and the assurance of spiritual growth. And you know what will have to happen? Mom and daddy will have to eat the same thing that little Johnny's eating. Mom and daddy will have to set the example when we sit down at the table and daddy says, I'm not eating those green beans, honey. I don't like them. Don't think that little Johnny ain't going to say, Daddy don't eat green beans. So when we refuse to eat what God has given us to promote growth, you can count on this, little Johnny is going to bring that back up to mother and daddy. Mama, if you never have to repent, daddy, if you never have to repent, if mama and daddy never hears a testimony from grandma and grandpa, if mom and the little boy, the little girls never hear a testimony from mother and daddy, don't you think for a minute that they won't grow up with that same kind of attitude about church. bringing them up in the fear, bringing them up and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So that systematic training, listen to what Job says in chapter 5. Job chapter 5. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. Let's go to Proverbs. So I need it. I need correcting. I need the discipline of the Lord. I need the training of the Lord. Sometimes God has to give me a flogging. Chapter 13, verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Know what we got today? We got a world that says, no rod. No rod. No rod at the church. No rod in the grocery store. No rod at the schoolhouse. No rod at the house. You know what we're doing? We're spoiling the children. The man. Now this is what God said. You just think about it and you could take it word by word. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Oh, we love our children. I tell you what you're going to do. You're going to flatter your child into being an infidel. You're going to flatter your child into being an unbeliever of God. You're going to flatter your child into being a delinquent. He that spareth his rod hateth his child. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes, quickly and often. What's he trying to do? Dispirit the child? No, not dispirit the child. Quickly and often, make sure that that child knows where the line is, and let them make sure that they know where the line is today, and tomorrow make sure the line's in the same place. Don't move the line. You move the line, they don't know what to do. You move the line, I tell you what they're going to do. They're going to try to see where the line's at today. Won't they do that? Why, sure they'll do that. Again, Proverbs 22:6, the verse we mentioned earlier. 22:6. 22:6, train up a child in the way. So that word there, in the way, means this: the mouth of his way. The beginning of his way. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, these are wonderful promises. Wonderful instruction. And God loves His children. And I know this. If they're your children, you love your children. You love your children. So don't fall. Don't fall for the lies that the popular world and what's popular in the world today that, well, we're going to have to change. Or you need to, I need to get the latest and greatest book about raising children. Here's the latest and the greatest and the earliest and the longest running and the best-selling book that there ever has been. Right here. I hold it in my hand, the Holy Bible. You want to know how to raise your children? Bury yourself in this book. And follow the instructions that the Lord gives. So that admonition, just a little more and we'll hush. So that word there means this: call to attention, putting in the mind, warnings, and correcting. And you know what we'll have to say? By the last words of the Lord that are prescribed by the Lord, that are given by the Lord, that are sanctioned by the Holy Spirit, that God Almighty would instruct us, and we don't have to wonder, we don't have to worry, well, we reckon this will work. I tell you that the Word of God will work. It will work. And you will not be sorry. Don't. And I can't get the scriptures exactly right. But don't you worry, and don't you stay your hand because of their crying. Reckon they're going to start whining before you ever drag the belt out. Oh, yeah, Mama, you got to quit. You got to back off. You're killing me. If you don't drive it from them, it'll grow greater. If you don't get it out of them, it'll go greater and greater and greater. And you'll have a son or a daughter. It'll bring shame. I can tell you this, by more than one parent I've heard this. I wish when my boys was young that I had had them in the house of God. I wish when my children were little, I had them in the house of God. You can't wait till they're 12 and 15 and start trying to discipline and start trying to correct and start giving the example. You better do it while they're young and they're limber as a little twig. You better do it before they grow into men and women and they get grow up to be an oak limb about that big. You can't break that. You can't bend that. You're going to shatter it. So these are good words from the Lord Himself. Good words, I think. Anything on your part?